We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown!
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined today by my co-host, as always, the co-owner of RotoViz, co-host of Stealing Bananas, it is Sean Siegel. Sean, we're three shows into the week, we're going to have a fourth show dropping on Sunday, and hopefully the listeners will come back for that bonus episode to find out a little bit more about us off the shows, I guess, but it should be a fun one as well. But we are, we're rolling through these episodes. They've been a lot of fun. We're into week seven. I teased it about the bye weeks on the show earlier this week, but looking forward to this week. I think there's a lot of positives to have. The one thing I was going to mention is for anyone listening to Stealing Bananas, I didn't know if they had picked up on it, but editing the shows, something I've picked up on is Sean has a new outro line, which I think he may have stolen from another podcast host. I've noticed that Have a Good One has snuck into the end of Stealing Bananas a few times.
It has. And I mean, it's a good way to conclude the show. I like the guy who often concludes podcasts that way. Now, it comes down to those last few sentences, Colin, and obviously we have a flexible script, but depending on what kind of good luck I'm wishing the viewers, or in this case, the listeners, we will have some video from time to time, but it is mostly listeners. So that can come up, can come in. And you know, we do want the listeners to have a good one. Colin, also, you mentioned the bonus show a couple times, and there's still a couple days left if people want to get some questions in. This will be a fun one for us. We hope it'll be a fun one for our loyal community here. If nothing else, it'll give you some good ammunition to poke fun at us on social media, and of course that's what this whole thing is about, right? So yeah. Tune in for that one if you have any interest. We'll hopefully learn a little bit about why Colm, the best voice in fantasy football podcasting, got into American football as opposed to the version that Ted Lasso and company have over there in the United Kingdom. So we'll be going over some fun things like that. Maybe have some more movie and book recommendations. I've gotten some great recommendations from the community that have been awesome. Had a birthday the other day and received book two in the First Law series, which was a fantasy novel series that community members recommended. And so we appreciate those coming in. You guys are making our lives better with some great content. So anyway, love the way this is going. Wish you guys would take it easy on us in the listener league. Colin, we do have one team that's in second place. And so it's very sad when that second place is in some ways predicated on Leonard Fournette. I would have passed up I'd be willing to finish 12th there if he would just stop scoring points. But anyway, that is where we are. And Colin, this is going to be the zero RB show of the week, trying to figure out, you know, how we can get ready for the buys and deal with these running back injuries. It's been sort of a crazy season where Derrick Henry continues to look invincible, but other guys, and again, I mean, we're rooting for everybody to stay healthy. We just know that's not going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, you need to adjust in fantasy. These last couple of weeks, I think what's happened with the Cleveland Browns has been really unfortunate. I mean, they're 3-1. They're playing extremely well. Kevin Stefanski has, I think, been one of the coaching storylines of the past couple of years. He looks like someone who, you know, if he's interested in doing it for another 25 seasons, that we could look back and say, okay, well, this guy, you know, maybe not in the Bill Belichick, Andy Reid sort of category, but someone who maybe wins a couple Super Bowls and establishes himself among the upper echelon of coaches. They are 3-1. They have those running backs who are so dynamic. You've got two guys who are able to even sort of run your offense through the running backs. They have a multi-touchdown lead against the Los Angeles Chargers. And now, just sort of 1.5 halves of football later, they're 3-3. The backs are out. The quarterback is injured. And I mean, football can just change very, very quickly.
Yeah, it really went, like, the Browns have a terrible luck. So they got Odell back. They lost Landry. And then they've obviously lost both running backs and the quarterback at the moment. So it's not really possible in terms of, like, key skill positions probably to be as banged up as they are. It's, you know, it's a really tough stretch that's coming up for them. And that can really completely derail the season. So we'll see how it plays out. Both of those guys being out is obviously a massive blow. First question, Sean, I guess when we hit on that is, we're talking zero RBs. We are looking here at the NFC. I know that is the AFC, but is there somebody we should be diving in to make sure we can get on the rosters, or if somebody's playing DFS this weekend, is there somebody that we should be potentially targeting there?
Well, Johnson is someone who's flashed a little bit in the past, and given that Felton is being used, you know, basically as a receiver, which the running back eligibility there, I think, is intriguing, right? There's the potential now with Keenum at the QB position for this game to get a little bit crazy. Maybe you have some significant kind of catch-up time involved, and so you're going to see some shorter passes to some of these underneath slot types of players. And if you have running back eligibility for someone who's playing in that role, then that could be a way to get through the bye. So don't ignore that element of it. Also, in deep leagues, Kelly is someone who is going to also be stashed, because, you know, one of the things that we've seen with some of these teams is the running back injuries just continue to happen. And so, you know, once we're in a situation here, I mean, there's a part of us that thinks, okay, well, if two guys have already gone down, I mean, what are the chances that the third one will go down? Well, you know, if you're going to have 25 carries in the game, the chances aren't that dissimilar from other running backs who are going to have 25 carries in a game or a high level of touches. And so you want to be ready for the next play. Obviously, this is our Saturday show. We know that waivers have occurred for this week, but you can be proactive in terms of looking week ahead what might happen in some of these situations. But the Browns will be a team to follow this week to see how they handle all of the turnover at the skill positions. Colin, we also have a lot of opportunities there in the NFC, as you mentioned. Another interesting team is the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott, one of the league leaders in expected points. And we know that he has been more explosive again this season. Tony Pollard, someone who had been kind of holding his own over the first 2 or 3 weeks. Over the last 3 weeks, the expected points gap is about 61 to 27, and Pollard hasn't created the types of big plays that would be necessary to make him a viable secondary back. He's got 183 yards, no rushing touchdowns in the receiving game in sort of a frustrating fashion. He's caught all 7 of his targets, but has been out-targeted 12-7 by Elliott, and a lot of that the result of week 6, where he was out-targeted 9-3. Do you have any concerns that Elliott has been so good and then the team obviously has to get some of the guys like CeeDee Lamb involved? Dalton Schultz has been so good. Is Pollard going to kind of fall out of this rotation, fall out of fantasy viability? Contrast him with someone like a James Conner who saw his rushing touches hit in that sort of season high area. So that's a new season high in terms of rushing yards. Conner now with a very clear rushing role with Edmonds a little bit limited, and he has the goal line work. Pollard a more explosive player, both offenses good, but Pollard really relying on the explosiveness and the receiving touches since Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a little bit more of the goal line back. We have these guys as our running back 2/3 on a lot of teams. This is a tricky weekly decision. Do you see this moving more back in the favor of Conner?
I think it's going to continue to be very interesting. Like, I think our talking points the whole way through, and the offseason we're probably like, maybe Conner, you know, eventually gets a bigger workload. But I think our thought process was always he's probably going to get the goal line work that Drake got last year. And I think that's kind of what's happened. Every time I see Edmonds, I'm like, Edmonds looks incredibly fast. And every time I see Conner, I'm like, well, there's James Conner running with the ball. You know, they have different numbers on their backs, but even without seeing the numbers, we can kind of tell who's who. But I think probably Conner's been kind of what's been advertised. I think the one area where it hasn't worked out for people who have drafted Conner really is in the receiving game. You know, Edmonds is really getting the work there over Conner. You know, Edmonds owners might be saying that they're not getting the work then in the rush game. But it's pretty balanced overall for that offense. And the one benefit is I think they're going to continue to score touchdowns. And I do think with Conner and the theory behind playing him, you know, the thesis is we're going to get those rushing touchdowns from time to time. We're getting those kind of green zone touches. So I'm still optimistic on Conner, but I do think we're going to have a cap sitting. We're going to have weeks where it's, you know, 50 rushing yards, 5 points. We're going to have weeks then where there is 2 rushing touchdowns and we're really excited those weeks. So I think it will be a little bit more up and down. It's not going to be the consistent flow that we maybe were hoping with, you know, could rely on those touchdowns most weeks. The one player you mentioned there was Tony Pollard as well. And things really have tapered off after, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season. It looked like, you know, he is the better back there and he's maybe going to get more and more work, where in reality what's happened is the script has flipped a bit in the opposite direction and they are giving Elliott as much work as they can possibly give him. I think it's going to be interesting to watch moving forward. I think maybe what we've seen the first couple of weeks was a bit higher than we could have probably hoped. Like, Pollard is getting those receiving touchdowns that I mentioned that Conner isn't, and that's why if I was, you know, having the option of having one of them the rest of the season, as much as I drafted Conner this offseason, as much as I like his possibilities, I think I would still head in the role of Pollard in terms of getting the receiving work. And I do think that eventually as the season goes on, it will go back closer to maybe it'll only be, you know, 60-40 split, but I think we're going to see him get that work in the Cowboys offense. So I would lean towards Pollard, but like you said, at this point, we can't lean either way because we have them on a lot of our rosters. So I don't know if you feel the same way, Sean, but I think I think Edmonds probably needs Conner in that offense so to keep healthy the rest of the year, in terms of I don't think he could handle the full workload. I think Conner could handle the full workload, but isn't explosive enough compared to what we're seeing from Edmonds. So I think for the Cardinals as an NFL team, they find a really good balance there between them. I think the Cowboys probably think the same. And the other part of it, as much as we say that it probably shouldn't matter, like Ezekiel Elliott's on a monster contract, Tony Pollard isn't, and the Cowboys are probably trying to get as much out of that as they can. But they've really gone back to Elliott, and we touched on it. Well, I certainly touched on it in those first couple of weeks. Elliott didn't look like it looked like he, you know, he may have been a little bit slower, but looking pretty good the last couple of weeks. But in terms of the efficiency of both players, you know, Pollard has been much more efficient with his opportunities than Elliott has been. So I don't know if the Cowboys are going to factor that in at a point, but Elliott's really getting the volume to be able to put up those numbers.
Yeah, and Pollard's week 2 ended up being a little bit misleading, and that was kind of the guess at the time, but it's still disappointing to see it develop from there. Hasn't posted another running back 1 or running back 2 finish since. 4 of his 6 games on the season are below 10 fantasy points. Pollard's still with the upside that Connor doesn't have. And we talk about all the running back injuries and how quickly things change. Pollard would be a clear RB1, potentially even like a top six running back if Elliott were to go down. You look at the matchup analysis tab, and after the week seven bye, they come back and have eight plus matchups in the next 9 weeks. And so this really sets up for them to score a ton of points. Going back kind of to this idea of the look ahead types of ads, there's the possibility that Connor, on the contract that he's on, with the lack of explosiveness that he's demonstrating, that they could mix in someone else, even if he's healthy. I don't think that's going to happen. But when you look at Chase Edmonds and how limited he is right now with the injury, if something were to happen to Connor or they simply wanted to work someone else in, Jonathan Ward, you know, four carries toward the end of this game, he continues to be the guy who is sort of next in line instead of, unfortunately, Eno Benjamin. And so if you're in a deep dynasty league or you're sitting there with just a hole on your bench, Jonathan Ward, someone, again, who it doesn't hurt to stash to make that kind of week ahead play as we're sitting here trying to deal with the bye week stretch coming up.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Sean, somebody we've talked about in a number of shows, our theme for this week has kind of been hyping up our guys in the main event team here as we head towards that championship, hopefully. But we'll hopefully we're not, you know, giving them a kind of a commentator's curse at this point. But DeAndre Swift is somebody we mentioned even earlier this week about the points that he is putting up, and a lot of those come in very, very late in games. But this is a team who I think are going to have to put up points very late in games where they are probably going to be out of contention in most of them, unfortunately for Lions fans out there. But Swift, when he's getting those opportunities, particularly in the receiving game as well, is looking very, very good. I think he's looked good overall. He did get that rushing touchdown towards the end of the game last week as well. Is there anything, though, that we should be concerned about? So, like, he finishes this game in week six with an 18% target share, so finishes it with 7 targets, 5 receptions, 43 yards. That we're going to take that for most running backs. So we're happy with the receiving work he's getting. You know, we have seen a little bit of a split at times with him and Jamal Williams, but when it gets to that end point, it looks like they're just going to give the majority of the work to Swift. Swift kind of had a strong receiving percentage in terms of team rushing percentage in terms of team opportunities last week as well. But obviously, the concern is that maybe this stops happening. But the way this offense is set up, it looks to be both him and Hockenson are going to continue to feast in garbage time. Any concerns that that could stop? I don't mean any concerns that the Lions are going to become a good team. I mean that they stop putting up points in garbage time.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this has played out exactly as we had hoped, and yet there can't help but be a little bit of nervousness, right? I mean, the Lions generate that anxiety every week, and our thesis for TJ Hockenson kind of back online after the good week six performance. DeAndre Swift has been consistently good, only the one bad week in week four. He's currently second in the NFL in targets, tied with Cordarrelle Patterson for the most receiving yards. Now, Patterson has obviously done it on one less game, but fourth in terms of expected points per game, seventh in PPR. He's over 18 points per game on the season. This is really the dream scenario, exactly what we were suggesting. And in some ways, there's actually a little potential for him to outperform this. He's only 52nd in terms of yards per carry. He's 78th in terms of fantasy points over expectation per game. He's a little bit in the negative there after generating more than 28 points over expectation in his 13 games last season. Now, last season was a little bit different because they had a little bit more firepower around him. So that direction with the efficiency is not a surprise. And yet at the same time, Swift is such a big talent that if he could thrive even in this environment, I don't think we would be stunned by that. The issue does come into play with when it's happening and just the risk in any given game that it wouldn't work out, right? During this last 3-week stretch, he is leading the NFL at the position in receiving expected points, but more than half of that has come in the fourth quarter. And so all of this production, the Lions are getting late. In part, we can give Jared Goff a little bit of credit for being the kind of veteran QB who allows that to happen. We can give the Lions credit for continuing to fight back, but there have also been some fluky things that have happened that have kept drives alive, that have given them a little bit more in the way of chances. And all you have to do is look at some of the other games that transpire each week to know, okay, well, if you don't get the fourth down, if the other team converts an extra third down or two and are able to bleed that clock in the fourth quarter, if the number of fourth quarter snaps for the Lions drop dramatically for a couple of weeks, then suddenly you're sitting there looking at DeAndre Swift and saying, okay, well, now you've got someone who's not even playable. And so I don't think there's any other running back in this top group who is as risky as Swift is for the scoring profile that they bring to the table. So that's the positive and negative. That's one of the reasons why he was discounted, right? That's one of the reasons why he was available there at the 3-4 turn. The other one obviously being the injury, but he's looking pretty good. He's able to split with Jamal Williams. Williams taking a lot of the low value touches. And in an ideal scenario, you would get those touches as well. And the Lions would have a good quarterback. They would have some wide receivers. They couldn't key on him. If all of those things were true, then he would have been at the very least a borderline first-round pick, maybe a mid-first-round pick. You know, maybe in some leagues he would fall into the second. We saw some guys like Eckler and Aaron Jones occasionally fall into the second. But again, if you answer all of those questions in the positive, then the price changes. And so those are all things we're dealing with Swift, but you can't help but both be excited and be petrified every week when you turn on the Lions game.
Yeah, you just want to, like, if you get anything before the end of the third quarter from some of those Lions guys, you're really happy, and then you just can watch those points start to add up as the game gets closer and closer to the end. But let's hope it works out for Swift. You know, we've talked about Swift a lot, but also Hockenson, big part of that offense that we have drafted a lot this year. But to finish up, Sean, we're going to have a listener question. We have got in We haven't asked as much, I suppose, for listener questions. I've been asking for the questions for the Q&As, but if you have any questions, it's a little bit trickier. A lot of it was team reviews in the off-season. Now it's a little bit more strategy-based. So if you have any kind of strategy-based for in-season roster management-style questions, send them our way. We got a question in on Twitter from Case, and he was wondering if we had talked about it on our pod before. It's not something that we've touched on different scenarios for waivers, and that, but not this one specifically. So he said, is the RB less valuable in home leagues due to the waiver type? So he talks about the waiver types in the leagues that he's involved in, being more of a kind of first come, first serve in terms of a rolling list, where if you pick somebody up, you go to the back of the queue to number 12. If you haven't picked somebody up, then you kind of just continue to move up. So usually that starts with the worst record and progresses that way. But he mentions about with the running backs going down, he never has the waiver position to add the guys that he would like to target. There is no fab budget in this particular type of format of league he is talking about. So he was asking, how do we adjust for this? I did mention this through to Sean before we started recording. I was saying, you know, any of the leagues that I'm in and probably any of the leagues that Sean's in are waiver acquisition budget or fab budget orientated. So whoever puts down the most money gets the gain. Just actually on that, a completely random topic, I have a dynasty league where I have Russell Wilson, and I thought Wilson goes down, I was like, team's going well, maybe I'll just put everything in and go go and get myself Geno Smith. So being the Russell Wilson owner, I thought, yeah, probably don't have to. So I was like, it's $1,000 for the year, and I was like, I'll put in $750, and I'm like, that's far too much. And then like later that day, I was like, I'll bump it up to $800. So anyway, I didn't get Geno Smith. He went for $1,000, and it's a super flex league. But yeah, it was quite, it's a, you never really know when it's a one-off like that. But when you're in a situation like this, where you're trying to get that kind of premium waiver pick of the week, no matter what the budget is, you kind of can dive in and try and get those. But in this situation, if it is just based on roster priority, I would guess that my advice, Sean, would be to obviously go as deep as you can in terms of, if you can put in multiple different players. Unfortunately, I don't think you're ever going to have to put in 12, but maybe put in 6 and you're probably going to get at least one of them. But it might be a little bit tricky to get that top acquisition, because whoever has not bid will get that. The only other way that I would be seen to play this is if you draft, and this is a bit late now for Case, but if you draft a zero RB team, maybe when it gets to the start of the season, you hold off for that first week or two so you can get a higher priority when it gets to week 3 or 4 maybe. But any thoughts, Sean, on if there is no waiver budget as to how to maybe play that queue system?
I have played some of these leagues back 7-8 years ago and played them heavy zero RB. It worked extremely well, and yet it does create a different dynamic. And so one of the things you have to look at is whether you're going to be penalized for, in terms of waiver priority, if you wait and hold off through the initial waiver run. So in many of these cases, if you don't bid during the actual waiver period there and you get then to the first come, first serve, you no longer lose your waiver priority. And so I would be targeting that period to make most of the moves, especially in leagues that don't necessarily have the depth. There are going to still be some moves to make at that point. A lot of these leagues tend to be a little bit shallower, and I'm certainly not saying that's going to be the case every time, but if you have a 16 roster spot league with kicker and defense, and so only really 14 players are being rostered, there's often enough depth and there's enough need for other teams to continually kind of move through their wide receivers to try and get wide receiver depth to play, that you can still make some good moves for running backs. The other things that I would be looking to do would be, obviously, once you've waited, like Colm has said, and once you've, you know, not made pickups during that window that's going to cost you the priority, definitely go out and get the one guy when you're in position. But then you can also sort of work trades with some of the other managers to where you're asking them to pick up such and such, and you'll move someone off of your roster, maybe the person that you were going to cut in order to pick up a running back. In many cases, especially in medium-sized leagues, those guys will be still players who, you know, the other guy would like. And so you can make that kind of trade as opposed to the waiver pickup. The other thing that we'd recommend is some of these look-ahead types of moves. And so once you have that really good wide receiver depth established, you know, trade some of the guys who are a little bit more conditional types of players, you know, go with that 6-7 wide receiver group, and then really try and build your look ahead depth at the running back position. So it definitely is an issue. It doesn't give you as much control. The bidding allows you to make your bet. Now, those bets don't always pay off. Sometimes you then get, you know, you make a big splash, you get Elijah Mitchell. He doesn't score a lot of points. You know, he's injured. There's a bye, and you're looking back and you're trying to figure out, well, where is all my money and where did the scoring result from that? And you're like, well, hopefully that's still to come. Hopefully Mitchell is still going to make an impact going forward. But now you're kind of out of position the whole rest of the way. So, you know, it can work both directions. But when you're just doing waiver priority, you lose a little bit of control, but there are sort of three or four small things you can do. If you do all of them, I think zero RB still works very well with that approach.
And Sean did touch on it there, but something I was going to say and something I've learned really, you know, to make sure it's implemented in all leagues from drafting with Sean over the years is when you have the waiver run, and this is a little bit trickier too if the leagues are shallower, but if you're in a reasonable size league, is looking ahead 2 weeks, looking ahead 1 week. And obviously, Sean, we touched on it today with the zero RB report that you do, and then obviously Blair's. You know, you can be, you know, a week or two ahead, and if you have the space on your roster to take one of those guys, and maybe a bye week's coming up here and somebody's second on the depth chart, or maybe somebody else put somebody off the roster because of somebody coming up to a bye, or somebody with an injury and then a bye, like getting those guys back on your rosters a week or two ahead now, especially when you see some of the guys who will be coming off IR, you know, they get designated to return. If you can get those guys on your roster maybe a week ahead, you know, it also a lot of the time the big benefit is it can say if you're in a fab or a waiver budget league, can save you a lot of that budget as well. So I would recommend to try that. But if you can pick them up, it's probably going to be after waivers have run based on exactly what Sean mentioned there. But that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Case for sending in that question. If you do have any questions, send them our way. We will have a bonus show for you tomorrow. Head on over and listen to that before the action kicks off for the Sunday schedule. Hopefully you'll enjoy week 7 of the season. Hopefully it's good for, well, if it's good for you, it's probably going to be good for us because we probably have very similar roster builds, but we'll see how that works out. If you're interested in signing up for RotoViz NFL Pass, if you haven't already done so, you can add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. That is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in throughout the week. If you have heard all 3 episodes, if you haven't, head on back, listen to Tuesday's and Thursday's shows. Lots of good stuff covered there across a number of different positions, a number of different strategy kind of related things discussed. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back with another episode, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.